What if the guilt you feel about studying at coffee shops instead of quiet libraries is completely misplaced? What if taking a break when you're stuck isn't procrastination, but a crucial step toward breakthrough? Benedict Carey's exploration of learning science reveals something radical. The brain doesn't work like a muscle requiring disciplined repetition. Instead, it's a sophisticated, quirky organ that thrives on interruption, distraction, and even forgetting. With 100 billion neurons forming networks capable of storing a million gigabytes of information, your brain constantly rewires itself, not through rigid discipline, but through strategic chaos. The research demolishes decades of educational dogma, revealing that those students who seem to learn effortlessly aren't blessed with better genes. They've simply stumbled upon techniques that align with how our brains actually function. This isn't just academic theory, it's immediately practical knowledge that can transform how you approach any learning challenge, from mastering a language to preparing for career-defining exams. Your most vivid childhood memory has been subtly rewritten every time you've recalled it. Memories aren't static files, but dynamic networks of neurons firing together in patterns. UCLA researchers recorded individual brain cells as patients watched video clips, then observed identical firing patterns during recall, the same neurons lighting up like a constellation. The hippocampus initiates formation, the entorhinal cortex filters information, and the neocortex stores conscious memories. Henry Molaison, who lost both hippocampi to surgery, remembered his childhood but experienced every new encounter as if for the first time, yet still improved at mirror drawing tasks without remembering practice, proving different memory systems operate independently. Each retrieval transforms the memory itself. Your brain's interpreter module reconstructs the past, creating coherent narratives from available information. This dynamic quality isn't a bug, it's the feature that makes learning possible. Forgetting isn't memory's failure, it's its most essential tool. Your brain uses it as a spam filter, allowing important signals to surface while suppressing distractions. Memory champions who memorize decks of cards in minutes struggle to recall last Tuesday's breakfast, not from absent-mindedness, but because effective memory requires selective forgetting. This focused forgetting happens constantly, blocking old passwords for new ones, suppressing native language words when learning foreign ones, or blanking on common words when deeply focused. As William James noted, if we remembered everything, we should, on most occasions, be as ill off as if we remembered nothing. Research reveals forgetting's dual purpose. It filters noise so important information stands out, and it creates necessary breakdown that strengthens learning upon review. Robert and Elizabeth Bjork's theory explains this through storage strength, how well something is learned, which never decreases, and retrieval strength, how easily it comes to mind, which fluctuates constantly. The harder your brain works to retrieve information, the more it strengthens both types. This desirable difficulty transforms forgetting from enemy to essential learning partner. In 1975, scuba divers who memorized words underwater recalled 30% more when tested underwater, but students who studied in two different rooms recalled 40% more in a neutral location than those who used just one room. Your brain tracks both content and environmental details as retrieval cues. Varying contexts creates multiple pathways to information, like building several highways instead of one narrow trail. The spacing effect, distributing study time rather than concentrating it, can double retention without extra time. Psychologist Harry Barrick's 5-year experiment showed Spanish vocabulary reviewed once every 2 months scored 76% after 5 years, compared to 56% for words studied every 2 weeks. Spacing works because longer intervals allow forgetting to filter competing facts, deepening subsequent learning. The ideal spacing depends on when you'll need the information. Testing in a week? Split sessions between today and tomorrow. Testing in a month? Study today and a week from today. The student who aces tests without studying uses testing as their primary study method. Arthur Gates found in 1917 that spending 60% of study time reciting material from memory produced 30% better learning than reading alone. Herbert Spitzer's 1938 study of 3,605 sixth graders showed students tested soon after reading retained 50% of material 2 months later, while those not tested until 2 weeks later scored below 30%. Modern research confirms students who studied once, then tested themselves, outperformed those who studied twice, with advantages growing substantially after a week. Testing creates desirable difficulty. Your brain works harder retrieving information than reviewing it, deepening both storage and retrieval strength. Successful retrieval restores information differently, creating new neural connections. Flashcards and self-quizzing are powerful not because they measure what you know, but because they actively build it. The fluency illusion, believing easily recalled facts will remain that way, is best overcome through testing itself. When you step away from a problem, you initiate incubation, a sophisticated cognitive process. Graham Wallace identified four stages: preparation, immersing in the problem, incubation, stepping away, illumination, the aha moment, and verification, testing the solution. Norman Meyer's rope tying experiment proved this. When participants couldn't tie two ceiling ropes together, he'd casually set one swinging. Most who discovered the pendulum solution never recognized the hint, demonstrating subconscious processing during breaks. The Zeigarnik effect explains why unfinished tasks haunt us. Interrupting work propels it to the top of our minds, creating a tuned mind that magnetizes relevant information. As novelist Eudora Welty explained, once you're into a story, everything seems to apply. This principle revolutionizes practice. Children practicing beanbag tossing at varied distances outperformed those using one fixed distance, even at unpracticed distances. A badminton study confirmed this. Students practicing serves in random order dramatically outperformed those using blocked practice, especially from unfamiliar positions. This interleaving forces continual mental adjustment, building deeper learning. While blocked practice creates an illusion of rapid improvement, varied practice produces superior long-term results.
For most of human existence, we learned through exploration and experience, not sitting still in quiet rooms. Your restlessness isn't a flaw, it's evolutionary inheritance. The guilt about studying at cafes or switching subjects isn't justified by science, it's outdated educational dogma. Learning science reveals that presumed enemies of learning, distraction, interruption, restlessness, even quitting, can work powerfully in your favor when strategically deployed. You can't control your genes or teachers, but you can control how you learn. The techniques are simple. Vary study locations, space practice sessions, test yourself relentlessly, take strategic breaks when stuck, and mix different skills rather than blocking them. These aren't hacks, they're alignments with how your brain functions. Students who seem to learn effortlessly haven't discovered secret willpower. They've found methods that work with their brain's natural rhythms. Let go of what you feel you should be doing and embrace what actually works. Your foraging brain is more sophisticated than any study schedule. Trust its quirks, exploit its rhythms, and watch learning transform from exhausting obligation into natural process.